Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. What does the Holy Spirit have to do with a proverb like that? Welcome to The Good Word. We begin a new series on the Book of Proverbs. My conversation partners are Dave Thomas, Dean of the Walla Walla School of Theology, and Linda Emerson, Assistant Professor of Philosophy in our Philosophy and History Department. My name is Alden Thompson. So let me toss that question out. What does the Holy Spirit have to do with a statement like, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise"?
Well, I think you need to explain your question a little bit more, Alden, because the Holy Spirit has to do with everything, doesn't it?
Well, that's true. Well, getting behind that question, and maybe I should expand on that, many ordinary people simply think since we talk about the Bible as God's revealed word, the impression is that it all came by way of visions, voices, and so on. And yet when you look in the book of Proverbs for evidence of anything like visions or voices, they're simply not there.
So in other words, it's a kind of accumulation of what some people might call human wisdom?
It's accumulation of human wisdom, but under the guidance of the Spirit.
Yeah, but that's right. I was going to raise that question, is are we suggesting then that the Holy Spirit does not influence human thinking and human wisdom?
Yeah.
Sure.
See, sometimes in the prophetic books, the word of the Lord came to me. Mm-hmm. And so you have that clear claim. And in the prophets, you know, priests with the law. But in the wisdom literature, it's what we're dealing with here, there are no bells and whistles.
Mm-hmm. No visions.
No visions, see. So now I've done a little bit of analysis when I wrote my book, Inspiration, and I think it holds up that the material in Scripture came to us by three different ways. One is, in fact, visions, revelations. That would be Daniel, Revelation, where there's extra input.
The prophets.
The prophets. But then you have research.
Mm-hmm.
The Kings and Chronicles will give you their sources. If you want to know the rest of it, you can go to the South Reading Room in the library and find them there. And Luke simply says, I've done careful study here, and this is the way it really should be told.
And that's a remarkable passage in Luke, Alden, you know, those first four verses, because it's very clear that Luke does research. He interviews eyewitnesses, and then he writes it in an orderly account so that somebody else can come to faith. And that's certainly not by way of a vision.
No. And you have, in 1 Corinthians, Paul starts out because he's heard rumors from the house of Chloe.
Yeah.
See, and so there are all kinds of experiences, and what I want us to recognize is that in the book of Proverbs, you have human wisdom, but the community of believers, the church, has said this belongs in Scripture, even though there's no specific claim for visions and so on.
Well, what's the third way that revelation comes? Because you said it comes by vision, and then it comes by
way of
research.
Right, yeah. And then personal experience.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if there is a connection in this recommendation in Proverbs that we look to the ant and consider her ways and be wise as an admonition to look at the natural world and to explore the purposefulness of the design in the natural world, so that an ant knows what an ant should do, and a human then, by inference, should be thinking about what a human should do.
Now, I like that thought, Linda, because if you believe in creation by divine act, then certainly what you say pertains.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit is active in creation as well.
Yep.
And so there are multiple connections between this and what the Holy Spirit does if you look at it comprehensively.
Yeah. And one can say that this is basically a mandate to look at anything and everything for purposes of finding out.
Right.
Now, the focus of it, it's addressed to a sluggard. and Proverbs has a lot to say about sluggards.
Sure. So the ant is doing what the ant is meant to do. The sluggard is not doing what the
and
what
he can
a
learn
human
from looking
is
at
meant
the ant.
To do.
And I wonder if
do.
Some people don't know what a sluggard is.
Lazy bones.
Yeah.
Lazy bones. Yeah, I suppose it'd be a more modern term. Now, one of the things that concerns me is I teach that if you get too much into the analytical side of Scripture, then the sense of sacred literature begins to disappear. It somehow, as one student, he was really excited in the class that I teach on inspiration. He was really excited about being able to ask questions that He'd never been able to ask before. But about 3 or 4 weeks into the quarter, he just simply said, yikes. You know, it's like somebody had taken the Bible as a giant blow-up figure and they let all the air out.
Interesting.
And it was just nothing left except plastic on the floor. That was his feeling, you see. Mm-hmm. And so I think we have to be careful that we don't just do analysis. It somehow has to get by that and into the heart and soul and touch our lives. Mm-hmm. Now, there's one question that comes up in fairly early on, and Dave, you were saying this is one of your favorite verses, and it appears several times in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, how do you distinguish between fear in the teeth-chattering sense and fear in the sense of awe? Do they blend into each other?
Well, I think awe does leave us trembling sometimes, but it, mm-hmm. The other kind of fear is more akin to panic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when you're walking on the ice and your foot suddenly slips, that there's a mm-hmm. fear, but it strikes you like lightning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Awe, I think, is something that is more deliberate and it fills you in a very different way. I don't think awe produces panic. It produces profundity. It's like amazement mm-hmm. that dawns on you. And so, and you're right, that the ancient word fear would be better translated awe, in my opinion.
Yeah.
A-W-E.
And maybe even a proper regard for what a human can know, mm-hmm. as opposed to what the infinite knows. If we go back to that Proverbs 6:6, and we talk about the ant living purposefully and the sluggard or any mm-hmm. other human has something to learn mm-hmm. from the ant, we don't just stop our observations with the ant. I mean, the ant is obviously symbolic mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. any or all of the parts of nature that are pretty amazingly created. I mean, so that the order is not just apparent, but the order is deep, mm-hmm. and the order is vast, and the order is something that at a certain point is simply not comprehensible. And then I think that does produce this proper sense of
amazement.
Amazement, yeah. Right? What it means to be finite as opposed to being infinite, something we can sure. never, ever yeah. be.
And that could be a very powerful emotion.
Yeah.
Peter, for example, at one point, when in the presence of what Jesus had done, he says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." So mm-hmm. this is where awe get to the place almost of fear. And I mm-hmm. I wrote out, or I copied this passage from Exodus when Moses was at the burning bush. And I think it gives you a bit mm-hmm. of the flavor at the same mm-hmm. time. He sees this bush is on fire but not burning up. And God says, "Do not come any closer."
Right.
"Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground."
Right.
And then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember several mm-hmm. occasions in the natural world being overtaken by the awesomeness of it. Once was climbing up the backside of a mountain, not realizing that there was a cliff.
Oh, my word.
And, you know, we came up through the bushes on the backside. It was not a high, but it was more like a hill. And as we crested it, you looked over this vast panorama in the Vumba Hills of what's now Zimbabwe. And I think it was about a 300-foot cliff. And, in that moment, you're filled with awe. It felt like we could spread our arms as wings and join the eagles, the hawks that were flying, and it's like, mm-hmm. whoa, it's mm-hmm. an amazing thing, just mm-hmm. the grandeur and the majesty of mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm.
But that may be more true of people who don't have acrophobia.
Well, that's true.
This is where my wife and I have an amazing contrast. She just loves high places. And I remember on the Isle of Skye once, we were trying to find the Kerang. There's a place that's called the Table. And from a distance, it looks like almost a golf green. But mm-hmm. it's surrounded by jutting rocks, and we had to come around the backside. And when we got to the top, all of a sudden it dropped off several hundred feet.
Oh, my goodness.
And when I did that, all I could think of was the human frailty of humankind.
You know, back away from it.
But Wanda went out there, and there was one place that was probably only 2 feet wide and then dropped down on both sides. When we got home, she says, "You took me away from that." She says, "I wanted to stay."
Oh, my word.
And for 2 weeks after we got home, she says, "I had these wonderful dreams of soaring to high places."
Is that? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Is that right?
So there's differences in body chemistry. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a key question that I want us to address here that affects us all the way through this quarter. And that is the problem of contradictions. For devout conservatives, contradictions are a problem. I think we will discover when we look in Proverbs that they shouldn't be a problem, because they are, while they are general truths, they're not absolute and they don't apply in all situations. I think of this one little line from Jane Merchant. She says, "He who hesitates is lost," or "Look before you leap." "The sages proffer good advice to spur us on to victory in sayings pithy and concise and flatly contradictory." So how is it that God can give us proverbs, inspired prophets, and that they are contradictory like that?
Because Alden, sometimes truth is by both and, not either or.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with that. And I would go on to say that sometimes the contradictions are apparent but not real. In other words, when we look at two seemingly opposing pieces of advice, I think in discovering the both and, we actually begin to see that the contradiction is apparent.
I sometimes tell people who are disagreeing with me that I think we're climbing the same hill, just
right.
on different sides.
We're just
I'm
next
climbing
to me,
up this side, and you climbing up that side.
We might even be right next to each other, but we're not in exactly the same place.
Are some places where they are, in fact, flatly contradictory, but they make good sense. For example, when our girls were young, we wanted them to ride their bicycles together to school. One wanted to leave at 8:05, which was way too early. The other one knew that if she left at 8:20, get there in plenty of time, see? Well, how do you negotiate the difference between 8:05 and 8:20? We compromised at 8:12, and no one was happy, but I had two speeches, and I was never, ever tempted to switch them. One is, be patient, and the other one, hurry up. So the different circumstances will, I think, help explain why some of the reasons are apparently
The context.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we learn by contrast.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Now, one last quick question here before the clock overtakes us. Is it possible to draw a line between that which is human and that which is divine in the Proverbs?
Well, I hadn't thought about that, but my quick answer would be probably not.
That's my quick answer, but I'm not a theologian.
That won't work, Lundy.
That way.
I think that there's a melding together of things here.
Yeah, so. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's like Jesus, you know, with the incarnation. You can't split the human and the divine from Jesus. He was a human being.
Yeah, I think we also have to understand about the world of the children of Israel that the veil is very thin.
That's right. Well, our time is up. I want to thank Dave and Linda for their participation today. And my thanks to David Olson, our program engineer, to all of you for listening in. For The Good Word, I'm Alden Thompson.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.